May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So let's talk a little reviving, okay? It says this in Revelation chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, with a voice of thunder, "Come." I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. I think this is about Jesus, and I think the first thing we need to understand about Jesus is Jesus comes conquering and to conquer. And all those things that you've committed to him, if you've really committed those to him, you may not see anything going on, but let me just tell you, behind the scenes, he's conquering. Jesus is a winner. And Jesus has come conquering and to conquer. But I think the first thing he comes to conquer, his greatest prize, is our hearts. And our hearts are attached to our will, of course, because the scripture said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So choosing to obey is an expression of our heart. And I believe that with all my heart, that at its foundation, revival is first and foremost, starts first and foremost with Jesus, who's come conquering and to conquer. The thing he wants to conquer first and foremost is our hearts, which involves our will. Because what happens when he conquers our heart, because that's the thing he wants more than anything else. This is the first and great commandment. We said it this morning, or today, that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Loving him back, when Jesus from the cross said, "I thirst," what he was longing for is for us to receive his love and to love him back. That's what he longs for more than anything else. It always starts there, not with signs and wonders and all those kind of things, but a people who have fallen in love with him. The Lord is a consuming fire. That's not the fire of judgment. It's the fire of God's heart for humanity. When Jesus said it was finished, he was simply saying, "We've done it, Father. I've revealed the extent how far you're willing to go in expressing your love for fallen and broken humanity." And then he goes, he tells us, "I thirst. I thirst to love fallen and broken humanity and for them to receive my love and to love me back." His thirsting heart for love. And when you come to that place where he's conquered your heart, and we'll talk more about that some this week, and the Holy Spirit truly fills. Well, I'm filled with the Spirit. I've got a date. I know when it happened. I understand. There are many of you, many of us who are filled with the Spirit and need to get filled with the Spirit. There are just some things God wants to do, some extra, some spaces he needs to clean out so he can fill. It's said five different times in Scripture that Peter, having just been filled with the Spirit, and we create these theologies about the Holy Spirit's filling, and it becomes very stagnant. He just fills, and then he fills, and then he just fills, and then he fills, and then he just fills, and you're supposed to walk filled, but then he fills in the midst of being filled. I don't understand it. It's just real. You study the book of Acts, you just see it. But the first evidence of a revived heart that's filled with the Holy Spirit, because when the Holy Spirit fills you, he's going to act like the Holy Spirit, right? Let me just show you what the Holy Spirit's mostly preoccupied with. This is Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And this can be interpreted, it says, after these things, but also in the midst of these things. So I'm going to read it that way. In the midst of these things, what? The chaos of humanity that Revelation speaks of. In the midst of these things, I, this 92-year-old man, looked and beheld a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the midst of these things." I'm so glad that Jesus says, in the midst of all the chaos, let me show you what must take place. Immediately I was in spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, Aren't you glad the one who says he can show you what must take place sits on a throne that's high and lifted up? And there was one sitting on the throne. He was sitting was like a jasper stone and sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. And around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne proceeds flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. This is real quick little thing. See, I believe there's a door standing open for all of us. I think all prayer happens in heaven. You hear charismatics, well, I had a third heaven experience. Every time you pray, whether you're aware of it or not, I believe that you're praying before the throne. It's a third heaven experience. And I believe when we pray, it so stirs God's heart. This describes his personality, his response. It's like his heart becomes like thunder and lightning. It just engages and ravishes his heart. And he said, from the throne, I saw these flashes of lightning, peals of thunder. I believe that's God's stirred personality. There's a place in Zechariah that talks about God was, when they were calling out to him, he was aroused from his resting place. And he says, and there were seven lamps or seven torches of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Seven spirits of God are mentioned several times. It's really just another way of saying the Holy Spirit. And here is the Holy Spirit's favorite thing, even though he's part of the Godhead. He stands before the throne and he burns in the presence of Christ. You see, I believe when the Holy Spirit fills a life, or fills a life again in a new way, a more profound way, what first happens in a person's life is they come in union and their heart burns for Jesus and wants to spend time before him with a burning heart. Gene said it this morning. When you get filled with the Spirit of God, that's connected two dots. If I find somebody who's a racist and they tell me they're filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't believe it. They may have gotten filled one day, but it didn't stick around very long. They were pretty leaky and all kind of drained out. Because what happens first and foremost when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, when you experience revival, your heart gets ignited and you fall in love with Jesus as the most real person in your whole world. And you want to be with him more than anything else. And when you fall in love with Jesus, we love because he first loves us. You love everybody else. So if a person's walking in anger and all that kind of stuff, or the things that David talked about, don't tell me you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You just have the title charismatic because something happened to you 20 years ago. What happens first when you get revived, real revival, always starts with falling in love with Jesus. Having a burning heart that wants to burn before his throne. Because that's who the Holy Spirit is. That's who he is. And the whole upper room discourse is about being filled with the Holy Spirit, living a Spirit-filled life, and loving God. How many times in John 14 does he talk about that? Jesus said, I want you to be like me. If you go back and read John 14, when Jesus said to them, he was preparing them for all the stuff that's going to happen to him. People were going to do evil things. Satan was going to be on the loose. He didn't want them to be surprised. He said, my peace I have and I give my peace to you. He said, but no, no misunderstand. He has no part in me. He said, I'm going to the cross because I want the whole world to know how much I love the Father. He was showing them what it looked like. When you get filled with the Spirit, or let's just say when you start walking revival, your heart begins to burn. Prayer becomes a passion because you know you without interruption before his throne, and you want to obey him as the greatest delight in your life, even in the smallest area. That's why repentance becomes so easy and it's so joyful, because you don't want to settle for any lesser love. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.